way back. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the word of the Lord to us this afternoon. So, on reflecting on his poor life decisions and the squalid situation that he found himself in, someone famously said, "I chose not to choose life. I chose something else." I wonder if anybody knows where that came from. It could have been from Jonah, as he reflected on the decision to ignore God's call on his life, as he found himself distanced from him, or so he thought. He found himself in peril and soon to be in grave danger. It also could be King David, as he sat with his head in his hands after the prophet Nathan had spoken the truth of his terrible decisions into his life. It also could have been David's son and now Solomon, the wisest person that had ever lived, as he lamented the decisions he made regarding his marriages that led him away from his Lord. Discernment and the lack of it normally confronts us after big decisions have gone wrong. But on reflection, it's normally a build-up of lots of little daily choices that one makes that shape who we are. Through our decisions, we become what we are. Our decisions, our choices that we make, form part of our identity, how we are identified by others. And it was no different for those characters that I just mentioned. Jonah, David, Solomon, they didn't just wake up one day and decide to make a huge, poor choice. It was, as they say, in the post. They'd taken their eye off the ball, or more literally, they'd taken their eye off their first love in the day-to-day things, and they'd got to a point where, confronted with the big choices, they had already begun to listen to other voices telling them what to do. Worldly voices that muffled the voice of discernment, the voice of God. And so it was with Mark, who said, "I chose not to choose life. I chose something else." Now, for those who know their Bibles, you'll think, that's not Mark from the Gospel. He didn't say that. And you'd be right. But it's a guy called Mark Renton. Mark Renton is a character played by Ewan McGregor in a film called Trainspotting, which was controversially produced in the 1990s. Mark Renton was a heroin addict in Glasgow. He'd got to his lowest point, and he was confronted with a decision that he had to make. He had realised that his life had spiralled into chaos over a number of years and poor life choices. At the end of the film, he has a moment of clarity, and he chooses life over death. Spiritual discernment is choosing to make decisions in life that lead to blessings and not curses, prosperity and not destruction, life and not death. Moses tells the people who are on the cusp of entering the promised land, now choose life. Choose it so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. Now, there are parts of Scripture that speak of discernment as a spiritual gift, as in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, when he speaks of those without the Spirit who cannot discern the things of God, and also those who could discern good and evil spirits. And there are others that, although don't use the word discernment, still speak of it, using words such as wisdom, understanding, discretion, prudence, testing, sense. But I wanted to use this bit of scripture from Deuteronomy because I think it sums up in a nutshell the choice God gives everyone. Choose him and you choose life. Don't choose him and you choose death. Both life and death now and also for eternity. And the gift of spiritual discernment in a Christian sense is a way of beginning on that road to choosing life. It begins with the everyday choices that we make that will inform some of the bigger choices that we make along the way. Now, for me personally, there's something very powerful in the simple words that Moses says, now choose life. Now choose life. Because we read that God has set before us all life and death. The film Trainspotting I alluded to was about the time-tested story of our battle between choosing nihilism through pleasure versus taking the responsibility for our own lives. Now, nihilism, if you haven't heard of that word, is the rejection of all religious and moral principles in the belief that life is meaningless. Mark Renton, the character, so he's worldly choose life, which is a great start when you've chosen death, experienced in the squalor of heroin addiction. It still has an air of seeking your own freedom on your own terms about it. Yet our ultimate freedom has been bought by God through the life of his Son, given as a ransom, and is therefore understood on God's terms and not our own. Spiritual discernment over and above general discernment is the only way we begin to live life on God's terms. Listening to his voice among all the others, spiritual discernment is a unique wisdom given by the Holy Spirit of God. It's not just normal insight, learned experience and knowledge, but it is godly wisdom that enables us to gradually put on the mind of Christ, as Paul tells us. Our model for choosing life and prosperity over death and destruction and blessings over curses. Now I want to touch on for a moment the difference of that train spotting choose life. As noble a message as it was at the time, with the now choose life that Moses commanded God's people to do. The worldly choose life in that dramatized experience of destructive drug use, pits the discernment issue as an easy one, which all Christians should be able to deal with. It's that basic good versus scenario, isn't it? Do I take drugs or not? It's no different to, do I lie on my tax return? Do I cheat on my boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife? These are basic issues which, let's be honest, take no discerning at all. Do we take drugs and place our minds and bodies outside of our own capability to make rational decisions and invite potential harm to our minds and bodies in the short term and actual harm in the long run? Do we go against God's will that we do not pollute ourselves and the place where he dwells by his Spirit with illegal drugs? Do we lie on our tax return and go against God's will because he detests lying lips? Do we cheat on a loved one and go against God's will that we should commit ourselves to one person as we commit ourselves to the one true God and no others? To be grounded in spiritual discernment and live a fully and truly human life, we must move beyond just avoiding evil and work towards seeking among good options that which aligns us with God's will, not just for our lives, but the lives of the communities in which we live. So those big decisions of good versus evil, they should take care of themselves. It's in the day-to-day spiritual discernment that enables us to live differently. And this is what Jesus done. Jesus lived differently. He lived differently to all those overtly religious people claiming to know and follow God. He discerned not his own will in matters, but he discerned his heavenly Father's. And people saw that in him, and they were both confused and amazed. From the moment Jesus discerned that his mother Mary was right in asking him to bless the wedding party with wine, to the moment he discerned that it was his time to die, his life was made up of many small moments of listening to his Father in the midst of everyday life. This is what we read and we see in the accounts of his life given to us by Matthew, Mark, Luke and John in the Gospel accounts, where he walked alongside those he had come to set free, which is anyone who would see the difference in him and want to find out more. So the model of Christian discernment is Jesus, as Paul tells the Philippians and the Corinthians to put on the mind of Christ, a mind that is attuned to the voice of God in all things. I wonder in your lives whether or not you've met anyone who it would seem always makes the right decisions. They always seem to know what's best, or they just have a knack of knowing when to pursue something or walk away from something. Someone who has an almost supernatural ability to know when somebody is trustworthy, always has the right advice for a situation. This is discernment. People with spiritual gifts of discernment, they choose to notice when God is at work. They choose to believe in a larger plan than their own, that they can grasp in a moment. They align themselves with God's preferred future, and they are able to determine the true nature of a situation, a person, or a thing. People with the gift of spiritual discernment, if they choose to apply it faithfully. Now remember, even Solomon, the wisest of all people that ever lived, apart from God himself in Jesus, chose at a moment in time not to apply his great wisdom when it came to marriages. And it all went very wrong for him. So people with the gift of spiritual discernment, if they choose to apply it faithfully, they will begin to sift out what is of God. And they will start to discriminate between that which expresses God's call and then anything that goes against it. But they can only do that by having the Word of God near to them. The voice of Christ himself through the Spirit speaking into situations and being able to hear his voice above all the others. Maybe it's the voices of friends that think they know best. You may remember Job's well-meaning friends offering their advice to him. Maybe it's the voices of other attractive alternatives that are decent, but not what God wants. Maybe it's the voices in the world that suggest that the godly way will bring trouble or persecution, so not to bother. The discerning Christian can be encouraged by the words of Moses. If we back up a little and we look at verse 11 of that chapter 30. Moses tells God's people who are about to cross over into the land God promised them that the offer of life and death for them is to discern. And it is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach, he says. It's not up in heaven, nor is it beyond the sea. No, the very word is near to you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart so that you may obey it. Moses is telling those he led, knowing that he won't be going with them into the promised land, because God had told him already that he wouldn't be going there, physically at least. that to make sure they claim their inheritance and take all that God has to offer, they need to stay close to all they know about God. All the stories they were brought up with, all the experiences of God's love and faithfulness they have seen, experienced themselves, or have been told about by their ancestors. All the laws that have been written on their hearts since childhood. Is this any different to what Jesus done when he walked the earth and taught his disciples? Jesus knew, like Moses, he was going to die. So he urged people, because of his love for them and their need to stay close to him, that as they travelled on without him, they too had to stay close to what he had written on their hearts. And that would be by receiving, listening to, and obeying his Holy Spirit, whom he would give to all those who asked for it. For all those who ask for the Spirit of God to guide them, by seeking the forgiveness of their sins through the way made for them to come into the presence of God because of what Jesus done, as he defeated the powers of darkness and the sting of death by being obedient unto death and taking the sin of the world on himself on that cruel cross, those who receive the Spirit now choose a new life. They are in effect raised to the new life in Jesus, as he was raised to life by his Father in heaven, after 3 days dead in a tomb. Effectively, he says, my life for yours. I give my life that you may choose life in me and discern how best to live it. Discerning how in all things your actions will bring God all the glory he deserves for the love he has shown for a broken world. As we grow in that spiritual gift of discernment, it is by faithfulness to a discerning lifestyle. A lifestyle demands from us trust. We must trust what we have received and acknowledged to be true. The very word of God that is very near to us, because the Spirit of God is in our hearts and the word of the Lord is in our mouths, so that we may obey it. This discerning lifestyle will include failure. It will include failure. Not all that we discern will be of God, because of course we're not perfect, are we? There's going to be times in our lives where life just gets the better of us. It's not our fault or God's. That's just the way of a broken world, a world full of sin. But the good news, of course, is that within all these things, we operate under grace. The undeserving favour of the Lord on our lives that allows us to be human, yet divinely led. This discerning lifestyle, it matures through self-reflection. Now, self-reflection is a God-given ability to see through the eyes of Christ and question our own desires and how they and the things that have shaped us can influence our decision-making. And also, most importantly, this discerning lifestyle matures through prayer. The wonderful and unfathomable chance made available to us by Jesus that we may in him, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, that takes our requests, our struggles and our questions and places them before the throne of God, that we may begin to know and apply the mind of Christ to all things. Now, on the flip side of knowing those who seem to get it right all of the time or most of the time, I wonder whether or not you've met anyone who just constantly gets it wrong. Maybe sometimes it's you. These are those who Moses is warning when he says, unless you get right with God, you're not going to enter the promised land. You won't receive that inheritance. There is no chance of being led by the Spirit of God if you are relying on being led by your own broken and sinful spirit. These are the people who refuse to acknowledge God. The people who refuse to acknowledge God are digging their own graves in a barren land with no hope, whilst a fertile land of hope awaits them if they would only now choose life over death. The death of saying, I'm going to do it without God. Jesus wants you to know that if you allow him to guide your thoughts and actions, there is a life of abundant blessing ahead. Not necessarily the kind of blessing and prosperity that the world suggests, but the prospering of someone who is seeking the good of others and the glory of God, so that they may taste the riches of eternity before they sit at the banquet on his return. When God sifts the wheat from the chaff, the righteous washed clean by Christ from the unrighteous, those who still sit in the filthy rags of their own sin, who didn't want to be set free, who didn't want to be made whole, who say, I can go it alone without God. So as he did on earth, so he continues to do in heaven as he sits at the right hand of his Father. Jesus is still drawing disciples unto himself and enlarging the space of his tent. As we remember that picture of Revelation, that when it comes to mind, when John sees the multitude of God's people worshipping him, dressed in robes of white, signifying that they'd been washed clean of their sin, and they are forever in the presence of God. The spiritual gift of discernment that allows us to make godly choices, while still personal and conditional, are always to be set within the body of Christ, the people of God. And all the choices we make should honour our previous well-made decisions. If we cut ourselves off from the community of God, the people of God, our faith family that carries our faith when we go through trials and tribulations and begin to show our weaknesses, we will easily stray into being led by our own damaged and broken spirits. And we will begin to call that which is evil good and that which is good evil. As a church, as God's people, we collectively seek to interpret God's word to direct us. And by doing so, we will fulfill the purpose for which we have been created, to bring glory to God in our relationship with Christ and each other, by pursuing the mind of Christ in all things until the day our Saviour returns. So the question is the spirit of discernment, this unique wisdom, if you like, something that you feel or know you possess? Is it something that you want to ask for? Remember, this is a gift. It's not for you to boast that you have somehow earned it. It is for God's glory that you ask for it, and it is by his grace that you receive it. I wonder whether maybe you see in someone else the hallmarks of spiritual discernment. Those who seem to always make the right decision. Those who, like the prophets of old, share wise words that maybe not words that you want to hear, but have in time or imminently come true. If you recognize these things in yourself or others, and you want to seek the Lord in prayer about the spiritual gift of discernment, please take the opportunity we're going to give you today. Trust and obey the prompting of the voice of the Lord. And come and receive prayer at the front as we respond in song to the message that we've just heard. If you are watching online, God has spoken to you about this. Speak to somebody. Speak to a Christian brother or sister. Contact Stu or I, and we will speak with you and we will pray with you. As I ask the worship team to join me and the communion servers to prepare to serve, if you're not sure about discerning God's voice in what you've heard today, then why not take a moment now to remind yourself again how we get to ask for these things? What happened in the life of Christ 2,000 years ago that enabled the power and authority of God to be with us now in 2021 and beyond? A God that leads and guides us through a life that allows heaven to invade earth today. That we can say in faith and hope, come Lord Jesus, draw me close to you on earth as it will be in heaven.